appreciate the singing. Turn to Ezra chapter 4. Now, Karen and Helton, just because I said we were Owenby this Sunday, that does not mean y'all get to lay out. So you can represent the Owenby, just different clan. Ezra chapter 3, really, I want to mention a couple of verses at the end again. Walk through our way of Ezra. And Ezra's not even on the scene yet, but he's coming. It'll just take him a little while. Zerubbabel has taken a group of people from Babylon back to the land of Judah. If you remember those people in the two southern kingdoms or two southern tribes had sinned against God in such a dramatic way that he put them into Babylonian captivity for 70 years. Those 70 years have expired now, and Cyrus the king there that of Assyria, where he overtook Nebuchadnezzar in Babylon, the Lord put it on Cyrus's heart to let those people go back and to rebuild Jerusalem and rebuild the temple and reestablish their lives. And some of them did. Sadly, not near as many as should have, but several thousand did. And we're talking about those people that went back into the land of Judah, into Jerusalem, and they have rebuilt the altar and have rebuilt the foundation, at least, of the temple. And they're at work and they're rejoicing here in the, what we probably would call the dedication service of the foundation of the temple. Verse 12 says, "But many of the priests and the Levites and chief fathers and who have, were ancient men that had seen the first house when the foundation of this house was laid, before their eyes wept with loud voice, and many shouted aloud for joy, so that the people could not discern the noise of the shout of joy from the noise of the weeping of the people. For the people shouted with a loud voice, and the noise was heard afar off." So there's some that are shouting and rejoicing about this new temple. They haven't seen a temple before. A lot of them were born in Babylon, and they hadn't even seen the temple. Some remember the temple, Herod's temple, that was destroyed. But it was so long ago that it doesn't mean much to them. So they're rejoicing about this new temple, this new move of God. And some are older. They remember that old temple, Herod's temple, that spectacular place, that place where God had moved. So some are shouting and some are sobbing. And the noise is so loud that it attracts attention. And then we'll move on to chapter 4. And in this chapter, we see the praise was interrupted. We've looked at the fact that the place was important, where they put that temple and where they put the altar was vitally important. They put it exactly where God said, because they're getting back to where they used to be. They just can't go find a clear spot or what they would call a better spot or pick out their own place. They have to do it where God says, the way God says it. And that's how it is with the walk with the Lord. We're talking about getting back to where we used to be, going back to the old way, getting back to the desire and the fervency maybe that we used to have. So the place was important, but then also the people were involved. And now we're going to look at the praise was interrupted. Always there's going to be opposition. Anytime God moves, just well expect the devil's going to also. There's no way in the world the devil's going to let the Lord move without doing something to try and hinder it, and he's going to do that. We need to realize that there's going to be opposition to us. If we think the Lord is going to be able to move in our lives and us get on fire for him and have revival in our hearts, our lives, our families, our churches, and the devil not recognize it, we're sadly mistaken. So again, we see the praise was interrupted. They're rejoicing and praising the Lord, but here comes the devil. In verse 1 of chapter 4, "Now when the adversaries of Judah and Benjamin heard that the children of the captivity builded the temple unto the Lord God of Israel," The enemy heard. Could I mention here? The enemy is described. Their coming, as we'll find in just a minute, in an unusual way. A way that some have questioned what their motives were. But we find in verse 1 that God tells us who they are. Let me rephrase that. He tells us what they are. When the adversaries, the word adversary means enemy. And that's exactly what they were. No matter what they said, no matter how they acted, no matter how sweet they talked to begin with, they were adversaries. They were enemies. That means they were against what was going on. That word adversary has the idea of sorrow and trouble. And that's what an enemy desires to do. An enemy wants to hurt, harm, and hinder. And that's exactly what their goal was. Now, they came real sweet, as we'll find out in just a second, and asking if they could help some way with the building of the temple and with all that's going on. But they were the adversary. We need to realize that. These were what would be eventually called the Samaritans. You probably have heard that term. And they made up, they were made up of two groups. Now, I'll have to rely on your memory somewhat, how fresh it may be. Remember what has happened. I've already said it. The people of Judah, those two southern tribes, had sinned against God so much that he had Babylon, Nebuchadnezzar, come and take them into captivity. And now that captivity is over. But when the Nebuchadnezzar and his men, so to speak, came to Jerusalem and came to the southern tribes, you remember what they did? They took the best and the brightest from that area, the area of Judah, and took them to Babylon. That's how they did when they won a victory. They went in and got the best and the brightest of all those of that nation or that area they had just conquered, and they took them to Babylon to mingle them in with their people and to make their nation better and brighter. But that meant that if you take the best and the brightest out of the area of Judah, who's left? The worst and the dumbest. So the ones that were left behind were people like me. I would have been one of the ones that would say, well, you just stay home. We'll leave you alone. So the less, I'm trying to think of a better way to say dumb, but the ones they didn't choose were left behind. But remember what also what they did. They brought Babylon, brought their own people into Judah and put them in with those people that had been left to where they could intermingle. Remember what I said? They were trying to weaken those people that they had just conquered to make sure they would never be built back up to where they could come and conquer them back. And it worked. So now, that's the people that's in Judah. It is two different groups of people. The ones who used to live in Babylon, who were ungodly, idolaters. They even offered their own children to idols. And they have come in and intermingled with those that are less bright and less best. And they've intermingled. And that's what the Samaritans are. These half-breeds that have intermarried. And that's one of the reasons why the Jews despise the Samaritans. Remember Jesus, the woman at the well, said, the Jews have no dealings with the Samaritans. The Jews thought the Samaritans were just like all the other, what were Gentiles. They were dogs. They were useless. They were a lesser class of people. And that's the people that's in this area that's called the Samaritans. And here they come. The people have begun the work on the temple, and they've got the foundation laid, and here comes the Samaritans. And that's what we're finding in verse 1. And God says right off who these people are. They're your adversary. They're your enemies. Notice, when the adversaries of Judah and Benjamin heard that the children of the captivity built the temple unto the Lord God of Israel, and there's the real thing. We're going to find out these people were not what they claimed to be. They claimed to be real spiritual. And they're going to offer to help and to join in and let's get this temple built. Let's do something for God. But the real issue is they didn't love God. They didn't love the God of Israel, and they didn't love Israel. They didn't love the Jews either. So the enemy is described in verse 1. Verse 2, the enemy is deceptive. Look in verse 2 and see what it says. Then they came to Zerubbabel, the leader, the one that had led the people back from Babylon, and to the chief of the fathers, and said unto them, let us build with you. Let us build with you. Doesn't that sound so good? For we seek your God as you do, as ye do. And we do sacrifice unto him on the day of the Asarhaddon, the king of Asor, which brought us up hither. Now they come in so spiritual sounding. Remember, these are the Samaritans. They're the ones that worship false gods, and they're still intermingled, they're still worldly, and they come and they say, let us join with you and let us help you build. Well, my goodness, any foreman of any job for free labor, they say, yes, sir, hey, thank you for coming. I'll get you something to do right now. Let me get you a work bell and I'll get you a hammer. But that's not what's going to happen. You would think it would be wonderful, but listen, these people would have done more harm than good. They're trying to persuade Zerubbabel. They're trying to persuade the people of God to let them join with them. And they even say, for we seek your God as you do. And we do sacrifice unto him since the day of Asarhaddon. In other words, he's saying, we've been worshiping your God for a long time. But the problem with that was they not only tried to worship the true God, they tried to worship false gods. You know, that sort of sounds like people today. We call them liberal, that tries to get in the middle of the road somehow and love everybody and everybody love them. And that's what we're finding here. But remember what God called them. God called them your adversaries. He said, we seek your God just like you do, and we sacrifice unto him just like you do. And some have wondered, well, did they have really good motives, and they really were trying to help, or were they trying to do harm from the beginning? Well, I believe they were trying to do harm from the beginning. But it doesn't matter what their motives were. Listen to me. They weren't right. It doesn't matter what their motives were. I tell you what, a fellow that fell off the bar stool last night may come to church on Sunday morning and want to sing Amazing Grace. His motive may be right, but he ain't qualified to do it. And here's these people. I'm talking about getting back to where we used to be. And the devil will do everything he can to sneak into us something that will hinder us from doing that. And one of the things is people who are liberal trying to join in. We need to be very careful. You see, the devil is a master counterfeiter. Now, they looked real. And they said the nicest things. And it seemed like they really did want to help, but it was a lie. They're adversaries, and the devil counterfeits. He's transforms himself into an angel of light, and he has ministers that transform themselves into angels of light. Notice, they came to Zerubbabel. They came to him. He didn't have to go look for them. And that's how the devil is. You don't have to wait for him. You don't have to go hunting him. He'll come find you. The Bible says he's like a roaring lion walking about seeking whom he may devour. Don't you worry. The devil will find you when you try and get closer to God. You don't worry. He'll be coming. And we need to be careful because he's a deceiver. They could easily have been deceived into thinking, man alive, come on. We're so glad you're here. And it would have hindered the project. It would have hindered. You see, they're like an undercover spy. That's how the devil is. If they're exposed and you see who they are and what they really are, you'll say, whoa, wait a minute. No, thank you. And that's what Zerubbabel was going to be doing, thank the Lord. You see, the liberal person wants to set aside doctrine. Wants to say, well, now listen, we just need to get along. We just need to cooperate. Now, I know we don't believe the same, but we can get along. We can set aside our beliefs just to get along and love each other. Well, there's a problem with that. You can't set aside truth. You can't ignore doctrine. Doctrine and truth is more important than getting along. And that's why we're told so many times in the Bible to be separate from people and to avoid people. Because, listen, those that are less dedicated, if they infiltrate those that are dedicated, the dedicated will become less dedicated. Do you understand what I'm saying? In other words, the lower one always influences the higher one. The less godly always influences the more godly. And the Lord knew that, so he's warning them to not let them take part. The enemy had a goal. To hinder, to harm, to hurt, to stop the project. And the devil's got a goal to hinder, and to hurt, and to harm, and to stop us from getting back to where we used to be, where we need to be. There's more than swords and spears that are used against us. Sometimes it's a smile. They came smiling, but they're just as dangerous. So the enemy is described in verse 1 and deceptive in verse 2. But notice, the enemy is denied beginning in verse 3. But Zerubbabel and Jeshua and the rest of the chief of the fathers of Israel said unto them, ye have nothing to do with us to build an house unto our God, but we ourselves together will build unto the Lord God of Israel, as King Cyrus, the king of Persia, hath commanded us. Now, again, there's a large task, and they needed all the help they could get, but they didn't need the help of the Samaritans. And Zerubbabel and these people, Joshua, knew that they would be a hindrance. Notice, now they came talking real sweet and say, we worship the same God you worship and we serve him and we want to help. How did Zerubbabel know that they were lying? Discernment. I believe with all my heart the Lord showed them, these people are lying. This isn't safe. Don't let them in. And thank the Lord for discernment. Discernment comes from, first, the Word of God, knowing what the Word says. The only way we can know what the Word says is to get in the Word and study it. We discern. Well, is this right or wrong? Well, what does the Bible say? Are they right or they wrong? Well, what does the Bible say? And Zerubbabel understood these people were not right because he had a God-given discernment. So the Word of God gives us discernment. It isn't my opinion or how I feel. It's what God says. Discernment comes from the Word of God. Discernment comes from the Spirit of God. Have you ever had that uneasy feeling? Has the Holy Spirit ever told you, watch out, be careful? That uneasy produced feeling from the Spirit, well, that's discernment, and we don't need to take that lightly. We need to be able to enhance that and listen to that better and learn how to discernment, whether things are right or wrong. So the Lord will help us if we'll let Him. Thank the Lord they were not fooled. Thank the Lord they denied the people when they came. Thank the Lord that they stood their ground from the very beginning. And I want to tell you, if we get back to where we used to be, there's some things we're going to have to say no to. There's some things we're going to have to reject. There's some enemies that's going to try to invade our lives. And we need to be careful. It says, Zerubbabel and Jeshua and the rest of the chief of the fathers of Israel, they in one accord said, no, sir, we can't let them in. Well, God's protecting this project, and He will do His work like that. He will protect us. And they said, ye have nothing to do with us. And they said, you talk about worshiping our God and serving our God and loving our God and knowing our God, but you don't have anything to do with us. They are saying no. Just to be honest, they're kind of rude. They don't sugarcoat it. They say, you cannot help us. You are not of our God. No, you can't. And we need to be that abrupt to the things of the world. The Bible tells us we're to be separate from the things of the world. Number 16:21, separate yourself from among this congregation that I may consume them in a moment. God said, you better get away from them because they're getting ready to get judged. You better stay away. Number 16:26, and he spake unto the congregation, saying, depart, I pray you, from the tents of these wicked men, and touch nothing of theirs, lest ye be consumed in all their sins. He said, there's some people I'm getting ready to judge. You better stay away from them. If you don't, you'll be consumed when I consume them. Number 16:45, get up from among this congregation, that I may consume them in a moment. And they fell upon their faces. For Psalm 1:1, blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. Isaiah 52:11, depart ye, go ye out from thence, touch no unclean thing. Acts 2:40, save yourself from this untoward generation. The Bible's full of saying to us, you better be careful who you associate with. You better be careful where you go. You better be careful what you watch. You better be careful what you listen to. You better stay away from some things because those things will devour you. And these goody two-shoe looking people that came in and offered their help would have done that. Their abilities may have been tremendous. They may have been talented in building. Doesn't matter. Their motives may have been pure. I don't think they were, but they may have been. But that doesn't matter. Why they're wanting to join doesn't matter. What does matter is that they were not qualified and they were denied. They were rejected. And I believe there was three reasons why Zerubbabel said no. First, the Holy Spirit told him to say no. And that should be enough. If God says no, it ought to be enough. And we ought to be close enough to where we hear Him when He tells us no about something. There's some things. Here's my point. We're going to get closer to God. We're going to get back to where we used to be, where we need to be. There's going to be some things that's trying to attack us, to hinder us. It may be somebody trying to, and they seem so nice and so gentle. But the Lord says you better watch those kind of things or those kind of people because they're going to hinder your walk back to me. They're going to hinder what I'm trying to do in your life. And one of the reasons why Zerubbabel said no is because the Holy Spirit said no. And if God says no to you about something, that ought to be good enough. Everybody else in the world may could do it and not feel guilty. But if He says no to you, you know what? He wants you to stop. He wants you to stay away. There's been some things the Lord's put in His finger on in my life, and everybody else seems like they can do it, but I can't. So Zerubbabel and the people said no because the Holy Spirit told them to. They said no because of those Samaritans' lifestyle. They were not spiritual. Their talent, who cares? Being able to swing a hammer, who cares? Being able to saw a log, who cares? Their lifestyle wasn't spiritual. I said it already, a professional musician or a professional singer, their talent may be amazing, but what about their walk? If they on a bar stool on Saturday, they don't need to be in church pew on Sunday unless they're sitting there getting right. But they sure don't need to be behind the pulpit singing or playing an instrument or preaching or teaching. So Zerubbabel said no, because the Spirit told him to, and because of their lifestyle. He knew who they were, and he told them to no, because of the fear of idolatry, I believe. He knew these people, they say they worship our God, and they try to, but they worship all those other gods. And I said it already, the Jews learned their lesson in Babylon. God sent them to a place where idolatry was rampant, and they learned in those 70 years what idolatry would get you to, and they learned their lesson. They never worshiped other gods before. And Zerubbabel and those men in charge, they saw those people as idolaters, and they said, we can't have anything to do with this. So they were denied. Then let me go on. I'm talking about the praise is interrupted. They're having a good time rejoicing. The trumpets are blaring, and the cymbals are clanging, and the priests are in their attire, and they're rejoicing and shouting and singing and having a good time dedicating the foundation of the temple. And then here comes these people and says, let us help you. They're described, and they're deceptive, and they're denied. And then lastly, probably for this evening, the enemy was determined. They got told no, but they didn't quit. Boy, if we had the determination they did for walking with the Lord, it'd be better for sure. Verse 4, then the people of the land weakened the hands of the people of Judah and troubled them in building. People of the land, the Samaritans, that have just come and said, boy, we love God just like you do, and we're all for this project, and let us help those same people. When they got turned down, when they didn't get their way, when they didn't get the position, when they didn't get the recognition, when they were refused, they tried to weaken the hands of the people of Judah. In other words, the real them is coming out. They weren't the two shoes and spiritual people they pretended to be. They were wicked and fleshly, to say the least. It says they weakened the hands. It means to slacken or to weaken. You see, they're doing all they can to stop the building project now and to hinder the temple and the city of Jerusalem and later the walls and these people building their homes and establishing their lives again in this area. They're doing all they can now to hinder. It says they weakened. The devil hates a strong Christian. The devil hates a Christian on fire. The devil hates a Christian in love with God. And he'll do all he can to make the strong Christian a weak Christian. We don't know the details of all they did. Some of it's explained in a minute, which we won't get to. But all we know is that they weakened the hands of the people of Judah and troubled them in building. The word troubled means to tremble inwardly. They not only were against the project, the temple, the altar, the walls, the city, but they were against the people of the project. They try and make the people scared. They make them tremble inside. They're trying to scare them into stopping. Their desire is that the building project stop. They don't want an altar. It's already been built, of course. They don't want a temple. They don't want the walls rebuilt. They don't want the city established. And they're trying their best to hinder it by harassing the people. You see, it's something personal now. I tried to help them. They wouldn't let me. I'll show them who I am. And it's become very personal. Notice, they weakened the hands of the people in Judah and troubled them in building. They recognize. Listen, they're going to stop it. Listen to me. They recognize what that temple would be. That temple is going to be a spot where God's people come and get some help and get stronger and get more united and become more of a godly people. And that's the last thing they want. Now, I'll tell you something. That's the last thing the devil wants. He sees what somebody that stays in the Word of God can do. He knows what somebody faithful to church can accomplish. He knows what a church, the people walking with God and loving each other, can accomplish. And he'll do everything he can to do, just like them, to weaken it, to stop it from happening. He's going to try and stop you if you try and get close to the Lord. In fact, that's the theme all the way through this book, in case you've missed it. Verse 5 says, and hired counselors against them to frustrate their purpose all the days of Cyrus, king of Persia, until the reign of Darius, king of Persia. One thing they did was hired what's called counselors. These were men intermingled probably in the government of Persia. And the word hired there means to pay temporarily. We would call it a bribe. So they're bribing people in the government. Now, let me mention this again. Cyrus in Babylon has said, I'll fund the building of the temple. We'll pay for it. You contribute and you give, but I'll help you. He's already given money, and he's already put his blessing on the building project of the temple. But now all these officials, or some of the officials under Cyrus, called counselors here, they're against it. Let me give you an example. If someone bribes someone in Congress to hinder the president, to make sure whatever he's trying to pass doesn't work, and that congressman uses his connection with the government to hinder the project that the president's pushing for. Or what about this? A crooked lawyer who knows the judge and knows the system, and he gets bribed to make sure this person gets off, like that judge the other day that snuck the alien or whatever out of her courtroom. That ought to shoot her and hang her next. But here's what's happening. These people inside the system, the Samaritans are bribing them, and they're doing it to make sure that the project doesn't work. And we're going to just stop there, because if I go on any further, I can't find a good stopping place. I don't know if you've caught it. I've said it about 500 times in the 4 weeks I've covered this. The Lord wants us closer to Him than we've ever been before. But my emphasis is we just need to get back to where we used to be. For a lot of us, if we could get there, it'd be a big improvement. We need God's touch and His help and His power and His love and to love Him, to be stirred of Him, to have a dedication that He produces in our lives, a hunger for Him, a thirst for Him, a commitment to walk with Him. And that's where we need to get to. But it won't be easy and it won't be quick. And as we've seen tonight, there's going to be some adversaries. There's going to be some enemies. There's going to be some opposition. It won't be easy. And on top of that, there's something attacking us to try and keep us from getting back to where we used to be. But could I mention, we win in the end. Everything does get built. So I'll tell you the last book and the last paragraph. Let's stand together.